Good to be back.
It's been a while. Good to see you all. The Lord's been doing a lot of things while we were wandering around, huh? Not meeting here, but involved. Mostly what I have to say tonight is actually witness about a number of things that the Lord has been doing in me and what I see. And I'm just going to try to say them as straight and clear as I can. You know, the message this morning in church really spoke into this. We are at a place of change, aren't we? And I don't know how absolutely clear we are on what the change is, but we are at a point of change. It'd be hard to be in this body and not feel the Lord pressing us, not feeling Him drawing us, not feeling Him, you know, heightening His presence and calling us into some new places. That is very evident, and there's signs of that going on, and people are kind of coming into it. I was thinking today about the change things that Don Hall was talking about this morning, and I was looking at that whole developmental change thing and thinking about it in terms of our growth spiritually, kind of a developmental process that goes on spiritually. And the more I thought about that, the more it identified where I am, where I think we are as a body, and actually where every church comes to. And the key is whether we make it through it or not. You know, that's the thing with developmental growth. We come out on the positive side and we are strengthened and able to move and function in what we learned in that stage. Or we come out on the kind of minus side, we're missing that. So let me suggest to you the developmental stage spiritually that came to mind for me today. And probably the scripture that best describes it is Galatians 2:20, which Ted preached on recently. And Paul in that says, it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is a spiritual development in us where we get to the place where we're not in charge anymore. We're not in control. We are not in the way. Because if we are handling it, folks, we are actually in the way. The Holy Spirit cannot move through us if we have our good ideas and if we're holding on to things and we're setting the agenda. So He can't move as freely in us. If we're going to see the kingdom come, we want to see the kingdom, right? We want to see it. We want to know how to live in it. We want to see all the manifestations of the kingdom poured out in, upon, and around us. We have to come to this place. I can't even tell you the urgency I feel about this. I think it is a place. I know it's a place for me personally. I believe that it is a place for this church. And I think this is the place where the church gets stuck. We don't make it all the way through this place. We don't get all the way over into that place where we get out of the way, where God lives in us and He really does fill and run the temple and it will respond to Him whatever He says. Amen. There are a number of statements of this and pictures of it in Scripture. You know, Paul talks about, in Philippians 3, he talks about having no confidence in the flesh. I mean, how many times have we been disappointed in our efforts, in our own efforts, and what they produce and what they can't produce, you know? And so he talks about we're the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I was looking at a picture of this with Peter in Acts. It's in Acts 4. I want to read it to you because it is a picture of this transformation in someone's life and what it looks like in effect. You know, this is after the healing of the lame guy at the temple, and after they have been rounded up and admonished, threatened actually, not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and beat up. And held, and then they are brought before the Sanhedrin. It says in verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. These are the folks. It's like, you know, it's like being brought into the governor's bureau and all of the leaders around, and they sit you in the midst of that. It says, put them in the midst of it. When they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? That's intimidating, isn't it? It would be a little bit intimidating. Peter, it's interesting that it's Peter here. Remember he was afraid of the servant girl? She said, "Are you one of them?" "Oh no, oh no!" You know, he was very afraid. And I, you know, I think we can all relate to those times when we haven't had the courage to respond to an intimidating, a presence. But it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. If you want to know what this is all about, it's very simple. Jesus, the one that you crucified and God raised, you know, he's the reason this man stands here before you whole. Period. This is the difference between what we look like in the flesh and what we look like empowered by the Holy Spirit, bold, simple, clear, unintimidated. This is what God is inviting us into. I believe he is. He's inviting all of us into this. This is what he has in mind for every single one of his kids. And we are at this developmental point in terms of moving all the way over there. The other thing that that Don talked about in terms of change is the statement, kind of low-key but in passing, that talked about change being a process, and most change has to do with process. One of the statements that it says about, in Romans 2, it says, Paul says, we are the circumcision. Romans 2 says, circumcision is that of the heart. In the spirit, whose praise is not from men but from God. If we're going to make it into this stage and all the way through and enjoy the empowering and the kingdom of God, it's going to be a process of God circumcising, clearing, cleansing our hearts, and filling us with Him. There is no other way. I can tell you, I have looked diligently. There is no other way. We got to give it up. the praise is not from men, but from God. It's easy to say that, but you know that's a big one for us. To not be concerned about how the impact that is going on around us or the effect that it might have on our lives. It's not so bad if it's a friend here and there, but if it's our job or, you know, I mean, It's a sizable transition to go from only being concerned about the praise of God. One of the scriptures that if we keep looking at some of these things, I think one of the areas that we'll visit more in the Word is in Matthew 5, where the Lord is talking about attitudes that basically go with the kingdom, the Beatitudes. I call them attitudes of being or attitudes of being in the kingdom. One of them, it's not the beginning, it's toward It's actually toward the end, Matthew 5, 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is really how the church works. We see God and respond to Him. Is that what happens in Acts? He directs. He speaks. He moves. You know, He gives word. He gives vision. He gives dreams. And He administrates the church by His Spirit. We're wanting to see that, right? This said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure means to clear and to cleanse. It's not, you know, it's not talking about some folks that we look at and say, what a pure heart they have, you know, just a few of us. But this is a work that I think He wants to do in all of us. He wants to clear and cleanse our hearts so that we can see Him. We can see Him clearly. We can respond. We're not, you know, confused about so much about what God is up to. That's the chief process in all the change with God, is Him continuing to do that and us being aware when He is and letting Him make the exchanges that go with that. Now let me just share some things of what this has looked like for me lately and where it seems to be bringing me. Over the holidays, I had some time more than I often have, and I thought that was to be a time for refreshing and restoration and just hanging out and quiet and I really assumed that that's why the Lord gave me that time. But I noticed after the first three or four times this happened, there was incident after incident in which the Lord was pinning me down on where I was and my control or self-preservation or whatever you want to call it, but me being in charge and Him wanting me to let go of that and move in a different way. And, you know, a little while into it, I said, Lord, this is a rest. This is a time of rest for me. But the fact is, I also noticed that as that went on, there was a tremendous freedom that was coming with each round of that. Now, this is not the first time it's happened. I mean, this has gone on for years. But there is a difference in it somehow, in that it's not just a growing, changing, you know, knowing the Lord better. It is more about this stage of moving from me keeping a hold of things and letting God really fill and do whatever He chooses with my life. And interesting, I've been asking Him that. I've been asking Him that actually for a while. One of the other things I want to say tonight, in terms of how important this is that's what we need to be asking for each other. We need to be holding each other in prayer. We need to be praying for the church here and the church generally, because this time in history has to have the church get through this place, has to have that kind of power, has to have that kind of presence and manifestation of God, or we're not going to be an influence. I don't see any other way. You know, we can't do it on our own. We're unimpressive. You know, we're not convincing anybody, ourselves, especially if we don't really move and look like and share the heart of God and pour it out. You know? So that went on and on throughout the holidays. And last week, you remember that Ted was preaching on some of these things in terms of hindrances and things that needed to be set aside. As a matter of fact, at one of the moments when the Holy Spirit was especially strong, he stopped it, as he does sometimes, and waited on the Lord, asking Him to identify the hindrances in our lives. You remember that? And I thought, oh man, nothing else is going on in my life but but that, you know. But the Lord immediately showed me that the primary hindrance in my life at this point is got to do with not believing that he can carry out what he's called me to. He's talked to me about this before in terms of telling me that I'm looking at the obstacles and I'm believing they are going to win, whether they're in me or wherever. It's kind of like I heard a preacher one time talking about the disciples in the storm, you know, and the Lord said to them, well, where's your faith? And the answer, though not in Scripture, was, I put it in the storm. I know the storm can kill me. I know. I know. You know, I got to do something. So I was looking at that, and the following morning I got up intending very much to pray some more about that, because that made me very sad, actually. I had to agree with the Lord in some ways. See, it's funny, you know, I would say that I have moved along in what I believe the Lord has called me to, but not with my whole energy, because I don't know if it'll work. You know that one? Check it out. If it works, maybe I'll go. So I intended to ask him some more about that, and to ask him about One Accord. Where are we, Lord? What are you doing here? What's next? What's happening? What is this for? Because we feel pretty strongly that he launched it, and so you got to keep asking, huh? What's next, Lord? What are you doing? As I was praying, the Lord gave me a vision that I want to share with you. And I really, I can certainly identify with it, and I will also share with you how. But I think it's probably for a wider audience, and may have to do with what we're up to here. So the vision started with a sense of me going down the road, going down the trail with the Lord. I'm at his side, walking along with him, and that's not an unfamiliar place to me. I have a sense of that often, and I feel like I'm on a long journey with the Lord, and we keep going, and he knows the way, and you know. So I'm going down this trail, and we arrive at a point where the trail is blocked by a body of water right in front of us. You know, like you come up to the edge of it. And it's not a huge lake or anything. But it's wide enough that you need a boat if you're going to go across, you know. So there's no trail through it. There's no boat. On one end, it kind of dies down, but it is full of growth and kind of a marshland bog type place on that end. And on the other, there's an open area of water. So I said, "What is this, Lord? What does it represent? And what?" What do I do at this point? I can't even tell you how frustrating it was. This is my road. I'm always on this road. Every time I get back to the Lord, I'm on this road. What is, you know, this blocking it? It was very frustrating to me. And so I said, what do we do at this point? I look to you and ask you, because I have no idea what this is. And this is what I heard. This body of water is not my river of living water. It is ocean water. You can't drink it or be refreshed by it. All it's doing is blocking the way. It's not going to help me in any way. As soon as I heard that, that's exactly what it looked like. You know, when there are areas where there's this little inlet that comes off the ocean. And so I said, okay, Lord, what are you showing me? This feels kind of impossible. How do I get through this? There's no way, you know, to have a path through it, and there's just, does the path resume on the other side? And then I thought, your path can't just end. That is absolutely out of the question, you know. And so I said, what is this? And here's what I think the Lord said. Now when I say that, I write down words that I try to have match the understanding that I have, okay? I mean, I'm not saying word for word, this is God. You know, I'm saying this is the understanding that I have. This kind of inlet happens because of a low place that lets the ocean encroach and keep making an inroad, cutting off the way of God. We have come to these places in lives, and it is a formidable task to restore the path. It is the condition that one accord must address in lives. My children let things encroach and keep making an inroad until they cut off the way of the Lord. Those things must be identified and removed if you are to continue with me. I sat there with that for a minute, just still saying, what? You know, what? How does this happen? And I think the Lord said, suppose the mouth of the inlet were built up so the encroaching waters were prevented from coming in. What would happen? And I said, the water that had already encroached would dry up and the way would be opened again. And I think his response was, you cannot have a revival of the sort you are asking me for without those inlets, with those inlets in place. The encroaching waters will have to be closed off, and my children who agreed to the low places will have to want to close them off and be alarmed at what is being stolen from them by the undrinkable water pouring in, making a widening gap in their progress with me. So I asked, do you want to show me what the undrinkable waters are specifically, Lord? And I heard, I will show each person in answer to prayer and earnest response to this vision. The difficulty is not in me identifying the encroaching waters and the nature of them. The difficulty is in getting my children to want me to identify these things in their lives and cry out to me to do so. Then I will both identify them and give them ears to hear, as many of these waters are embraced as good things in which hope is invested. And he said, your hope is in me. So it is a clear picture of where the move of your spirit brings us, right up to the inroads of things in our lives that have closed off our progress. This is kind of unnerving, Lord. I know it's true. And I had a sense of, you know, I know we have difficulty seeing them. I know he has to keep speaking to us about it. So I can hear this, Lord, and I'm already prompted to ask you what those inroads are for me and how I cut off those waters in order to continue. What are the encroaching waters for me, Lord? And there are several things he showed me. One is that what I shared that he had begun to talk about on Sunday morning, believing that my calling on your life is not possible to fulfill, is a sizable inlet. And of course, I had to agree to that, you know, because things happen by faith, right? Not by wondering or doubting or weighing or assessing or all the things that we do. Seeking some acceptable way to live out that calling rather than announcing it boldly and clearly is a sizable inlet. Kind of going around the edges, you know, instead of head on. And the fear that if you do, you will be prevented by resistance from even ministering is a sizable inlet. I didn't really realize that was there, but when he said it, I thought, oh, yeah, that's a possibility. These are all held together by unbelief, based on assessing your ability to carry out these things rather than relying solely on mine. You have allowed that inroad of swamping waters and called it truth. Then there was this really admonishing word from the Lord. Do you think that my ability to work a revolution in the hearts of man has ceased? Do you believe that I do not have the power to carry out my word, no matter the size of the obstacles? You must stop letting unbelief serve as a protection from continuing with me. I think what the Lord means by that is that we look at and weigh the difficulties and think, well, I don't know. That's a form of unbelief, if we know he's saying something to us. You know, that's a form of it. It's kind of, you know, not real direct, but... So I said, Lord, I stand convicted. That is true, and I need out of here. It reminded me, I also realized that there's a lot of faces to that, and I would have to get good at catching them. You know, a lot of places where that doubt or reluctance or whatever slips in, and I would have to get good at seeing them so that I push past, so that I push through, and don't just automatically let them take over. Then I was reminded of a vision that the Lord gave me several years ago, and it was about wedges. And he showed me two types of wedges. One was I'll show you a picture of it so you can make sense out of what I'm saying here. Those around. Go that way. One is a wedge of doubt of the sort that we're talking about here. And one is a wedge of faith. And they produce a very different fruit, a very different set of things. If the doubt wedge gets to continue, it will produce unbelief. When we don't have the hope and excitement and encouragement of faith, we can get depressed and even in a place of despair. Where is there to go? You know, it's kind of a decline kind of thing. It's not very hard to afflict and condemn us in those places. And lots of people are under quite a bit of that, quite a bit of condemnation and judgment and affliction. The goal of the doubt wedge, this is early on in Scripture, isn't it? Did God say? That's the presenting of doubt. Is this really true? If that gets to continue, it will produce a certain level of discouragement. And in discouragement, we withdraw and probably don't say much, feel rejected, fearful, anxious. The whole progression of doubt is to cause us to lose our share. One of the things that it says about sin is that we lose our portion. You know, we lose our share on that side. Faith, the wedge of faith, moves into areas of blessing and hope and power. There's healing, peace, acceptance. It's all lifting and breathing of life into us, isn't it? And if that continues, the second round of that is probably in the area of anointing, calling, God consecrating us to specific purposes, equipping and empowering us for that. And now we're in this life more abundantly track, you know. Those wedges are very powerful in our life, you know. They we've got to see which one is functioning and cut off the doubt ones as soon as possible. These scriptures that are at the bottom of the page, this is the first one is about Peter. He sees Jesus coming, walking on the water to the boat, you know, and he's all full of excitement and asks the Lord if he can come out with him, and does, and is successful until he looks at the wave. And then, you know, he sinks like a rock. But as he sinks, it says, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" That's a good question, isn't it? Why do we? I don't understand why doubt is easier than faith. But I think it has to do with our sight. Things that we see and weigh and evaluate. You know, see, I have up here doubt based on seeing. Oh, that's what this looks like to me. Faith is based on hearing. This is what it looks like to me, but God said. And moving in that direction instead of what it looks like to us. See, Peter did fine until while he was looking at and believing Jesus. When he looked at the wave and started evaluating himself against the wave, and there are several others about this. The third one, Mark 11. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. That's where the doubt is. it's pretty down there. And the Lord's got to free us from it. I have some copies of this vision, too, that I'm going to send around. Just, I don't know, I would encourage you to take a look at it, see if the Lord is wanting to say anything to you. I personally feel like it is clearer to me than it has ever been how committed and intent the Lord is on getting his children through into these places with him, you know, where we live there with him. And I think that's what we want too. It's going to be a process. Our question is how to support each other in that and keep moving in it and pray for it to happen very widely. You know, the dream that the Lord gave me back in October, that invasion dream, some of you remember that? The scripture that is very, very clear in that and that goes with that dream is, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from the ways that spoil and break, I'll heal the land. So we have this work to do, and he will do what he says he will do. Now, as I kept looking at that and listening to the Lord and praying through that, I realized how far I was from believing God for the size of thing that he's perfectly ready and willing and able to do. And I can't be alone in that, because, you know, if I were, it would be happening. If everybody else was believing him, you know, for those huge things, they would be happening. That's what it says. So we have some pushing through to do. And I don't think anything in life is more critical than that we get through whatever we need to believe him through and through at every level of our heart. Are you with me? Okay, I want us to I want us to make a beginning response to the Lord tonight, just in terms of openness to whatever he wants to do with this. Is that okay? I was just before I came over, I was reminded of this scripture in Numbers. What I'm talking about, this developmental, the spiritual developmental stage of coming into the place where the Spirit of God lives and moves in us freely. I think it has to do, it bumps into and connects with the kingdom of priests that he talks about in Scripture. A kingdom of believer priests. And something that he says about that back in Numbers, I want to read to you. I want you to stand with me, okay? I want you to stand, and this will tell you why. And you shall, the Levites were those who were chosen to minister in the temple and be about the things of God. They had to do with the music and praise and worship and assisting the priests. We're the kingdom of priests. And it says, and you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After that, the Levites shall go in to serve the tabernacle of meeting. So you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering. For they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself. Back in Exodus, where it says, he's talking about bringing them out of bondage. He says, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's where he's bringing us. That vision that you had tonight, Judy, I related to as a soaring place with the Lord. Soaring with him. You know, he's the mighty one. You know, soaring, and we're on his back. You know, we are going. I think it's great for him to have a basket for us, you know, but it's that soaring place with God that he wants us in with him. Lord, here we are. We hear all these things that you are saying, and in fact, you have put a longing in our heart for them, Lord. So we raise that up to you as a response to the very thing that you want to do in our lives. We also know, Lord, that there are various obstacles and fears and reservations, as Don named them this morning, that get in the way of change and that you have to free us from, Lord. We do cry out to you tonight. We do cry out to you, Lord, and ask you to free us and move us along. We pray for ourselves in that, Lord. We pray for each other. We pray for this body that you are inviting and pressing and drawing us to yourself in these ways. And Lord, we pray for the church universal, because this is the place we have difficulty getting through. And we kind of stay in a limited place, not fully receiving and flowing and soaring with you, Lord. We confess that and ask you in your mercy, Lord, that you would loosen those places, free us from them, and move us into the whole purpose and calling and outcome and gifting and empowering and anointing that you have for each one of us, Lord, and that we would not settle. We would not be comfortable settling for less than that. Whatever you want to show us, Lord, about the inlets in our life, we will keep coming up to them, Lord. We will keep coming up to them as we continue down the road with you. We will keep bumping into those places, and you will have to identify them for us and free us from them. We invite you to do that, Lord. And we thank you for how tenacious you are in that and how full of grace. Lord, help us pray together for that whole work of your Spirit among us and all across the body. Help us pray, Lord. Help us move into that with you.
Amen. Lord, there's a prayer, a promise that you made to us. It says that you said you went to prepare a place for us, and that if you did that, then you would come and receive us unto yourself. Mm-hmm. Receive us to that place. And that's what we need you to do. We need you to receive us to that place. Mm-hmm. We can't do it in our own strength. We need you to come where we are snared and deliver us. We need real deliverance, mm-hmm. Lord, your power. We need you to meet us in those places where we're hung up. Lord, it has to be your Spirit. The song tonight that we sang said, save us and we'll be saved.
Yes, Lord.
And deliver us and we'll be delivered. Mm-hmm. Set us free and we'll be free. Lord, we're your possession, oh God. We're that people. We believe that. We're the people that of destiny that will be a kingdom of priests to you, a people for your own possession.
Yeah.
But you have to make us that, Lord. We're your house. We're your building. Just commit ourselves to what you want from us.
Mm-hmm. Lord, when you lay something on our heart, when you speak to us, when you direct, when you begin to move us or stir up things in our heart, help us lean into that. Help us lean right into that with you, Lord, and say, all right, how? How do you want to do that? What is my part? And move quickly into a place of believing you, Lord, and getting excited that is something you intend to do. We're not going to carry it off. You intend to do it. And like that vision tonight, we get to go with you. We get to be part of it. Keep showing us how the kingdom works, Lord. You're the king, and we're the kids in it. You lead, you guide, you pour out everything that we need. But we do go. We do go with you.
That's right.
We do respond. We do get up.
That's right.
Lord, this place we are as a body of believers, I feel like it's a very important place, Lord. And we pray that you hold on to us and that you move us according to your purposes and that you bring us into the whole and full purpose that you have for birthing this body of believers. Let us come up into that with all our hearts, Lord. Let us see your hand upon our brothers and sisters, upon ourselves, and let us see you knit us together, Lord, as your body. Let us see you direct us and orchestrate and move us along in the way that you intend and work all the gifts together and cause them to complement and flow and be a rich statement We pray that work of your Spirit, that presence of your Spirit, Lord, would pour out and overflow on this area, on the people around us here, that they would be drawn to you, Jesus. They'd be drawn to you. You would be so manifest that they would be drawn to you. Not even to a church function or whatever, but to you, Lord. That's the place we want them to end up. Knowing you, tucked in with you, very aware, all getting through all these things themselves, Lord. And into that place of rejoicing and delight and zeal in your Spirit. Thank you for your vision for us, Lord, for your purpose for us. It's amazing.